May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 906. 906. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind and brave to protect? To lovely Mount Zion my heart is now bound, but many a lion is in the way found. Hymn 906.
Oh, Seeking once more the Lord's help as we come to his word, I would like us to turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6. And we'll begin reading from verse 20. The Gospel according to Luke chapter 6, beginning to read from verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners, and receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceive not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and help us to continue in prayer. O Lord, our God, we come before thee once more to the throne of thy grace. We thank thee, Lord, for the way of prayer. We thank thee that we can come as beggars poor at mercy's door. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast made a way possible in which we as sinful, fallen men, women and boys and girls are able to approach thee through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. We thank thee that we can commune with our Creator. We do thank thee, O Lord, that there is nothing that is beyond thy control or beyond thy ability. We know that nothing shall be called impossible with thee. We thank thee for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he ever lives to intercede as our great high priest. We thank thee, O Lord, that he remembers our frame. He remembers that we are but the dust of this earth. We thank thee that he remembers the weaknesses of our flesh, as he was tried and tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. We do thank thee that he has passed through, that he has walked this world of ours, and he has suffered the being despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we do thank thee that we can come then unto thee through him who is able to understand the weaknesses of our flesh and the pathways in which we all walk through. We come unto thee, O Lord, burdened and weighed down with the ongoing battles of this life. We come unto thee, O Lord, seeking for strength to be able to persevere and to walk worthy of our calling. We come unto thee, O Lord, asking that thou grant us a greater faith, a greater measure of faith, a greater experience of thy Holy Spirit within us. We ask, Lord, that thou help us, thy people, to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh, that we may be able to subdue the indwelling sin that rises up inside of us. We pray that thou strengthen us as we walk upon the narrow way that leads to life. We pray, Lord, that thou help us to walk worthy of our calling, that we may indeed shine as lights in this dark world. We ask that thou help us to lay hold of thy word and to believe it and to walk in it, that the practical aspects written in thy word may be evident within our lives. We pray that thou help us to crucify the flesh day by day, that we may express greater evidences of thy spirit within. Thou, Lord, reveal through thy people a greater fruit of thy spirit, that it may be true that we are indeed sons and daughters of the Most High, that we have been adopted into thy family. We thank thee for the work of salvation. We thank thee that through the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever may believe upon him may be saved. And we thank thee for the gift of thy Holy Spirit, who enables us to persevere. We thank thee, Lord, for all of the many benefits that are granted unto thy people through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that as we have been gifted these great gifts, that we may present our bodies as living sacrifices unto thee, which is our reasonable service. O Lord, we pray that even this night more may be added unto the number of those who should be saved. We pray, Lord, that the lost sheep may be found, that they may hear the cry of the Master, that they may be placed upon the shoulders of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and brought safely into the fold. We pray, Lord, that the lost coin may be found, a precious one of thy dear people, that their eyes may be opened this evening hour, that their ears may be unstopped to the sound of the gospel. May it be shown, Lord, this night that there is one thing and one thing needful in this life, and that is to sit at the feet of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thy Spirit may work amongst us this night. We desire to see greater things than these. We desire, O Lord, that those whom we love are near and dear unto us may behold the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. We pray for the parents here this night, those who have children who are far out in the world, those who have loved ones who have no concern for their never-dying souls. We pray, Lord, that thou hear the cries of the parents and the grandparents and the loved ones. We ask, Lord, that thou bring to the memory, to the heart of those lost ones, the sound of the gospel, that they may hear the still small voice, that they may come to their senses and return to a place of worship. We pray, Lord, thou look with favour, for thou hast said in thy word, bring up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. O Lord, we try to raise our children in thy knowledge and in thy fear, and yet some have left the ways of truth. We pray, Lord, that they may come back, that they will not be lost for all eternity. Again, we present to thee this village of Swavesey. We present to thee the neighbours around about this place. We thank thee, O Lord, that some have been constrained to come in, that some have heard the word, and we pray that they may continue, that they may indeed find a settled place, that they may indeed come and be fed by the still waters and the green pastures. We pray that others also may come in, that they may see the text upon the wall, that they may take from the Bibles, that they may read from thy word, and that thou wilt constrain them to come in and fellowship here with these people. We pray, Lord, that this place of worship may be as a light set upon a hill, drawing people unto itself. We pray that they may be like the Thessalonians that from this place sounded out the gospel. We ask, Lord, that thy word may go forth with power into the highways and the byways of this village, that many may come to fill this place and to tell what thou hast done for their never dying souls. We pray, Lord, if it could please thee, that thou provide them with a man to minister unto them, a man after thine own heart, a pastor, to go in and out amongst them, that they may have a steady ministry, a shepherd to take care of them. We ask, Lord, that thou settle their minds, if it could please thee, upon a certain man, that thou lay in the heart even of a minister of thine, to come and to minister amongst these people. We thank thee, Lord, that there has been that settling of men in places of worship. We thank thee that there are still those whom thou hast led into the ministry. But we would ask that thou continue to lay hold of young men and give them a burden for the souls of the lost. That thou give them a burden for the advancement of thy kingdom. That thou give them a burden for the ministry of thy holy word. That they may follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That they may proclaim the good news of the gospel. Do, Lord, we pray, hear prayer. For thou hast said that we are to ask thee. For the harvest is truly great, yet the labourers, they are so few. O Lord, thou art the Lord of the harvest. Bring forth labourers, we pray. Lay hold, we pray, of thy ministers, and add to the number if it could please thee. O Lord, thou hast said, why stand thee idle all the day long? Go thou also into the vineyard. We pray then, Lord, that thou continue to uphold and strengthen this place of worship. We pray that thou continue to enable thy servants to come and to minister in freedom and in liberty, anointed with thy spirit, that the people may be fed, that the people may be encouraged, that the people may be edified under the authority of thy holy word. We pray for those who are visiting with us. We thank thee, Lord, for them, and we pray that they may feel a unity in this place, and we pray that thou watch over them in their journeyings and return them to their home in peace and in safety. We do remember those who are unwell this night, unable to gather with us. Do bless them, Lord, and touch them, we pray, with the healing touch. We pray for the little children who have come out once more. We thank thee, Lord, for them. Do, Lord, bless them. We bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking that he may touch them, asking that he may bless them and restore their souls. Do help them, we pray, as they grow up. Do keep them from the lies and the deceits of Satan. Do, Lord, save them by thy grace. For thou hast said, those who seek thee early will find thee. And we pray that the little ones may seek thee, and that they may find thee, that they may find the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray then for each and every one who has gathered here this night. Thou dost know, O Lord, the state and condition of each of our hearts. Thou dost know the medicine in which we need. And we pray that thou wilt indeed grant us and give to us what is right and needful for our never dying souls. O Lord, we would ask once more that thou come and help me to speak. Do pour in that I may be able to pour out. We do pray, Lord, that thy strength may be perfected in my weakness, that they may behold no man except Jesus only. We ask, Lord, that our sins, which are many, may be all forgiven, that thou make up where we fail. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow, as we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 556, 556. The Lord proclaims his name, and sinners hear his voice. His mercy ever stands the same, and we'll in him rejoice. Hymn 556.
Seeking once more the Lord's help and to grant me the words to speak to you this evening. I'd like you to turn in the chapter that we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 6. And the text you'll find in verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Those of you who were here this morning, maybe notice a similarity between the opening parts of chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes and the text that we have before us. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. And so we see that there is a similarity, a flowing together between the two verses and between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Between the principles that were laid down in the Old Testament and the principles that are laid down within the New Testament. And we can know that this should be true because they all have the same author. All those who wrote the Word of God were under the influence of the Holy Spirit, holy men of God moved by the Spirit of God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we read that that in verse 10, there about the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, that which was written was upright, even words of truth. We know that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We know that God's word is truth. Sanctify them by thy truth, as the Lord Jesus Christ says in his prayer. And so words of truth are written down both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And the words of the wise are as goads, or those things that guide, as nails fastened by the masters of the assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. You see, there is one shepherd, there is the good shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd of the Old Testament, he is the shepherd of the New Testament. There is only one church before God. The Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross to save one people, to gather in one church, one body, one sheepfold. And he is the one shepherd. Therefore, from beginning to end, the word does not contradict each other, but there is a flowing together. There is a unity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if we see in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount in which he wrote, there are those practical aspects also of Christianity and Christian living. And if you look at the Sermon upon the Mount, you will find that the Sermon of the Lord Jesus was not just a spiritual experience in which one makes, but it is an actual walking out of what one believes and what one has faith in. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in God's word. We know not just by walking out some laws and some ways of service is one able to obtain a salvation. The scripture tells us that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. And no matter how hard one endeavours to try and to please God by good works, always those good works will fall short of the standard of God. As we looked at this morning, we find that there was the illustration of the tree, of the great oak tree, a beautiful tree, but when cut down, when the chainsaw was laid into its trunk, we found the inside of that was rotten and stagnant water. And we see that that illustration also lines up with the Lord Jesus Christ and his illustration regarding the Pharisees, and how that they, upon the outside, showed themselves to be upright and righteous in the sight of man. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ exposed the hidden evils of their hearts. As it were, he put the chainsaw right in, and out came forth what was inside. Just rottenness and uncleanness. Dead man's bones. And so as we read through the sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that it is indeed a practical sermon, that the things which he says are to be walked out in life. Yet those things, whether they are, if they are just walked out without faith, are useless in themselves. It doesn't matter if you turn the other cheek. It doesn't matter if you give all that you have. It doesn't matter if you come to a chapel on Sunday and in the weekday. It doesn't matter if you wear the right clothes or look the right part. It doesn't matter if you help an old lady across the road. It doesn't matter if you give all of your money, all of your things to charities. None of these things will make any difference in your standing before a holy God. He says that your works of righteousness, the things that you do, that you think please me, are as a filthy rag before me. And so that's why the Lord Jesus Christ directs his sermon specifically to his people. He begins, and he in our chapter 6 and verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said. And so his sermon is specifically directed to those people who are following him, those people who are trusting in him, those people who have been worked on by his Spirit to see him as he is. Those people like Peter, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Like Thomas, my Lord and my God. Those who see him for who he is. God's gift, God's beloved Son, who was sent into this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the sermon is directed to those who believe and are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those who are not believing and are not trusting, it's to lay aside all of these things. To lay aside all of your own works of righteousness and see ourselves as God sees us. To see ourselves through the lens of a holy God who can see through our suits. He can see through our Sunday best clothes. He can see through those things that other people cannot see. We may be able to deceive our wives. We may be able to deceive our husbands and our children. We may be able to deceive our mums and our dads. But we cannot deceive God. It is him who sees us as we are. All things are laid bare before him. He says, you stand naked before me. Nothing is hid. You know, those people who are often arrested have been looking at the internet, at things that they shouldn't do. Some looking at children, some looking at terrorist sites and such like. And they try and erase all of those things that they've been looking at. Maybe they look at when it's incognito. And when they get off, they try and erase everything so that nobody can see what they've been looking at. But when their houses are raided by the police, the police get hold of their computers and they enter into the hard drives and they expose everything that is there on that hard drive. Those things that they thought had been deleted, they're still there. And they're found out. And they're pronounced guilty. That is how you and I are before a holy God. There are things that we do in secret which nobody else sees. There are thoughts that go on within our minds which nobody else can perceive or understand. Yet God is able to see the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He's able to see through all of these, this veneer that we have. And no matter what we do, we can never please him. Because his standard, it is too high. If we've broken one of his laws, it's as though we have broken all of them. And so we are to lose sight of ourselves, lose sight of our own works of righteousness, and plead the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that is why he came into this world, to work a righteousness which can be put on by faith, to work a righteousness by living in obedience to God's holy law. Every line and every dot, he fulfilled every aspect of God's law, living in complete obedience to the Father, so that he may work a righteousness that can be put on by faith. Think of this building here. For somebody to get up there and to paint the ceilings, they need a ladder. It would be impossible for them to do it in any other way. They need a ladder to climb up and to paint. The Lord Jesus Christ is the ladder which is set up upon earth and reaches up into heaven. And he is the only one. He is the only way in which you and I are able to have a relationship with God. He is the only one in which you may be able to reach acceptance with a holy God. A ladder set up upon the earth, which its top reaches up into heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And so if we can't even paint the ceiling of the chapel, how much more do you think we are able to please a holy God? We need a ladder to paint the ceiling. We need Christ. We need Christ to have a relationship with a holy God. And so the Sermon on the Mount is written to those who need Christ. To those who love him and to want to follow him. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And so the walking out or the living of a Christian life is not just a floating along on an experience that we have had. But it is a walking out day by day. It is a labor as we have been removed from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. We are now as soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ in enemy territory in which we walk in constant opposition to the things that are going on round about us. Weakness of the flesh, the world and Satan all oppose the believer. And so it is a walking out of one's religion. And that walking out, Christ has given us a style in which to walk, a lifestyle in which he requires his people to walk. And he requires them to walk in a way that he himself walked. He does not tell them to do things that he has not done. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He has lived this life in poverty, living under or living from the benefits of other people. Around about him were those who took care of him. He had nowhere to lay his head. We know that he was born into a very poor family. Mary and Joseph were not wealthy people. They offered up the pigeon for the sacrifice. We know that his father was a carpenter or a mason. And the Lord Jesus said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" And so even if you and I were brought to the very lowest condition in material things, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to understand the weaknesses and frailties and the hardship of life. And so the things in which he says, it is a practical sermon. In Matthew chapter 5, he speaks about the blessings of those. He then tells the Lord's people who they are. "Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before that men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so the believer has been called to shine as a light, as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that those may see their good works and glorify their Father which is in heaven. And people don't like being spoken to about good works. The preacher often is labelled as a works-based religion. But the scripture is clear. We cannot be saved by good works, but the product of the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart transforms the nature and causes those ones who were once walking in darkness to walk in the light, to live with an eternal perspective, as we looked at this morning, and that their life is as a light drawing others to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the works in which they do glorify God. And if we go on through the Lord Jesus' sermon, he speaks about the law, he speaks about giving, he speaks about praying, he teaches them how to pray, and he tells us again, like we looked at this morning, to consider the works of creation. How God has clothed the lilies of the field. How God takes care even of the little birds. And from those things, the believer is to take encouragement in times of anxiety and difficulty. You know, as I was thinking about these things, I thought, you know, things are changing, aren't they, in our country? Things are becoming more difficult. People's mortgages, they are becoming unsecure. Those who have been paying a steady sum for some time, as the interest rates are changing, their mortgages are going up, and people become anxious, and people become concerned about what is going to take place. How are we going to afford these things? How are we going to take care of the children? How are we going to feed the family? How are we going to pay the mortgage? How are we going to pay the electricity bill? How are we going to pay the gas bill? And when we add all of these things up, we wonder how on earth is it all going to fall out? How on earth are all of these things going to, how are we going to survive? And the believer can become anxious and concerned about these things, and we lose sight of God. And yet when we come to the scripture, when we come to the sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Why do you take thought about tomorrow? Why are you worrying about your clothing? Why are you worrying about your finances? Look at the little birds. Look at the flowers in the field that are more beautiful than any of you, and they are cut down and cast into the fire. Why are you taking thought about these things? Trust in your Heavenly Father. Take no thought about tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And that is in Christ's sermon. He understands the worries and the concerns that people have regarding day-to-day life. He's not out of touch like King Charles. He is in touch. He is a God who is nigh at hand, close at hand to his people. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. He says, give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. We were talking today of the difficult passages of Scripture. And if you read the sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that if you were to live it out, word by word, it is the most challenging sermon you have ever listened to. Give to every man that asks of thee. When we were in Kenya, knowing we believe what the Lord Jesus Christ requires of his people, there were those who would come to us. Us they would see as wealthy people come into a poor area. And people would come day by day and they would ask us, we haven't got any food. Can I have some money to buy food? And you would look at them and you'd see they've got no shoes. They've got rips in their clothes. And you'd say, this person is very poor. The scripture says, give to every man that asks of thee. But you know, just giving money is not necessarily the best thing to do. Giving doesn't necessarily mean just give money. And so there were times when we had to give food or give clothing or give work in which those people could work and earn money for themselves. And you would see little children who weren't at school and you would find their parents and they would tell you, well, we don't have any money to send our children to school. And so we would think, well, the best thing then is to go to the school and to pay the school so these children could go to school. And so when you go through the scripture, we are constantly challenged by the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he says. Give to every man that asks of thee. Give, and it shall be given unto you. As I thought through these things, my mind went to Ruth. As we said, it's not necessarily giving of money. Ruth served her mother-in-law. And she served her mother-in-law and it was noticed by those people round about her. They knew that she was different. They knew that she was a foreigner that had come in from the outside. And Boaz speaks to her in Ruth chapter 2. And Boaz said unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men? Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it has fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. And the Lord recompense thee. The Lord reward thee or repay thee thy work, and a full reward be given thee according to God, to the God of Israel, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. You see, she had come to trust in the God of Israel, and she had sheltered, as it were, under his wings, coming underneath his protection. And he also had blessed her labor of love to her mother-in-law. And it had been seen by Boaz. And Boaz saw that she was a faithful and a good woman. And he, as we know, he married her. And a full reward be given thee. She was brought into a relationship, into marriage with him. And then came into the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. You see, God saw all that she did, and God rewarded her according to her work. It wasn't money, but it was time, it was labor. It was deeming another better than herself, working in service to her mother-in-law. And as I said earlier about those who served the Lord Jesus Christ, we think of Mary and Martha and other women who followed the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering to him and his disciples. They served him in love and in devotion to him for the advancement of the kingdom. And for the help of the ministry, they gave themselves to the work of the Lord. And then there is in the book of Luke chapter 21, the literal giving, the giving of money. But we know that it's not necessarily the amount of money that is given. When the Lord Jesus Christ sees the old lady casting her money into the treasury, and he looked and saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all, for all these have cast of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury has cast in all the living that she had. And it is her that the Lord Jesus Christ noticed. It is her that the Lord Jesus Christ favoured and spoke favourably about. The lady who gave a little, but in her life, that little was a lot. And so according to Christ, she gave more. She gave more than they all. Give, and it shall be given unto you. You see, it's not the amount that we give. It is how we give. It is what is left behind. What is the motive that Christ sees? In Corinthians, it tells us there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 6, but I say, He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he is purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficient in all things, may abound to every good work. And so it's from the motivation of the heart, what comes out of the heart. Give, and it shall be given unto you. My mind also went to the lady in the book of Kings. The poor lady who fed Elijah. You see, Elijah had come from the brook Cherith, where he had been fed by the ravens and by the stream. But all those things, the stream had dried up, and so the Lord moved him on and told him to go to a widow woman whom God had commanded to feed him. But at that time when he found her, she was gathering sticks and she was going to have her last meal. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." That was it. Finished, her last meal that she was going to have. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. You see, it was her last, then finished. But she acted in faith by listening to the word of God, by believing the promise that Elijah has said. And God honored that. She took the food and gave it to his servant. And she lived many days. The oil kept coming. The meal kept being there. She scraped the barrel. The next morning it would be there again. And doesn't it remind you of the manna in the wilderness? They were to gather it day by day, enough for the household. They were never hungry. And this lady, she was never hungry. The Lord provided. You see, we do not believe in a God who cannot do anything. We believe in a God who is able to do far more than we can ask or even think. He is able even today to provide in miraculous ways for his people. He is able even today to provide you with enough money for your electricity bill. He is able today to provide you enough money for your mortgage. Why care ye for these things? Why are you worrying about these things? Present them to God. The barrel of oil will not waste. The cruse of oil will not waste. He is able. You think of the Lord Jesus with the 5,000, feeding the 5,000 people. How he broke the bread and the fish and distributed it to all of those people. An impossibility, a miracle. That these things are still able to take place today for his own people. He is able to move heaven and earth to provide for them their daily bread. You think of all that he has done. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. With the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. As we have read, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, but the promise is that if you give, God will always provide. If you give, you'll never ever lose out. You see, in business, sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes you make investments and things go wrong. We hear of people going bankrupt. We hear of people losing all of their money, their houses and such like. It's not so with the Lord. It's not so with the Lord's people. When they give to the Lord's work, when they give their time, their resources for the advancement of the kingdom of God, for the help of the Lord's people. The Lord sees it, and a fuller reward will be granted unto you. You think of what Christ has done. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is no greater gift that could ever be given. It's the greatest gift that this world has ever seen, that God put on flesh and was born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law. And that gift, the gift of Christ, was given to redeem, to buy back to those who were in slavery to sin and to Satan, in the chains of iniquity. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was enough to pay their sin and to release them from that captivity. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Therefore, we have been bought with a price. Glorify God in your bodies. It's not just floating along. The believer has been bought by the gift of God, his Son, upon the cross at Calvary. Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That was the deposit, that was the payment that has been made to redeem his people. Upon the cross, the Father's wrath poured out upon him for the sins of his people. And they, in return, live for him. "If you love me, keep my commandments, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." And he lifted up his eyes and said unto his disciples, "Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. He that smiteth you on one cheek, turn to the other also." Examine these things, look at them, read them, and see how our lives, our Christian lives, compare to the teaching, the challenging teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray that God will enable us to live a life that is indeed like a light shining in a dark place. A light that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you love those that love you, what reward have you? Even the ungodly do the same. If you lend to them in it you hope to receive, what reward have you? Even the ungodly do the same. There should be a difference between the believer and the unbeliever. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Christ's sheep and Satan's goats. There's a difference, a vast difference. One lives for this life. The other lives for eternity. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. John Hart is expected to preach. Let us close with hymn 179. 179. Jesus is the chiefest good. He has saved us by his blood. Let us value naught but him. Nothing else deserves esteem. Hymn 179.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gift of thy beloved Son, and we pray that our eyes may be opened, that we may behold him as the greatest gift that has ever been given, and we pray that thou help thy people to live as though they have received the greatest gift that has ever been given. We thank thee for eternal life. We thank thee for the forgiveness of our sins. And we pray as we depart from each other that thou watch over us as we journey home. That thou be with the brethren as they go out into the workplaces and their lives tomorrow. We ask, Lord, that they may meditate upon thy word, that it may bear fruit for thy honour and for thy glory. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit do rest and abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.